It sure is good to see everyone this morning. Hasn't it just been a gorgeous week? And it's so nice to be gathered together here this morning. And weren't we led in worship in such a just a beautiful, powerful way? I'm so blessed to be back at Outlook and to be worshiping with all of you. We are in the middle of, or really nearing the end of, a sermon series all about the stories that Jesus told. They're called parables, stories with lessons. He was a teacher, and he loved to use stories to teach his lessons. And of course, the lessons that Jesus had to teach are what? The most important lessons that any of us can ever learn. And I feel like we're really going to touch on a super important lesson this morning. And it really can be boiled down to this. God has given you something valuable, something powerful, and something uniquely yours. Don't bury it. Don't bury it. In fact, some of us have probably today done exactly that, buried something that God has given to us. And today would be a great day to dig it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's dig it up. Because the lesson that we're going to see driven home this morning is this: buried potential is an eternal loss. Buried potential is an eternal loss. So whatever it is that you begin to identify that God has given you, that perhaps, for reasons that we'll start to talk about, you've buried for a while, it's time to dig it up. It's been hidden for too long. We're going to be in Matthew 25, same chapter we were in last week, same page number if you grabbed a Bible from the Bible carts, that's page 677. Maybe you brought your own Bible. Maybe you could just like to pull up the Bible on an app, or you brought your tablet or whatever. But either way, we're going to be in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. This is commonly called the parable of the talents, or the parable of the bags of gold, as you might see it if you're reading from the NIV, the New International Version, like we have on the Bible carts. Today's parable comes right after last week's parable. Jesus, we see them here, two in a row here. There's actually a third we'll talk about here in a second. In the first parable that we talked about last week, we learned how it's important to be proactive in being spiritually filled. The parable of the bridesmaids, and how we asked ourselves if we are proactively filling ourselves with God's Spirit, just as they learned that lesson with the oil of their lamps, and that we are all lamps. In this next parable, Jesus is talking about the fact that not only is that important, but now let's also look at what life is all about from a different angle, and that being fruitful and productive is also an important measure of our earthly lives. So not only do we stay spiritually full, and we do that proactively, we need to be productive in our spiritual fruitfulness. So let's dive right in and see what Jesus has to say in the second parable of the chapter, starting in verse 14. He says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." Now, like I said, sometimes this parable is called the parable of the talents. That's the original word that's used to help us understand what's going on there. We're seeing it here translated bags of gold, because a talent in Jesus' day was an allotment of money. In fact, a whole huge chunk of money. A talent was worth about 20 years of a day laborer's wage. So kind of a 20 years of minimum wage earning would have gotten you a talent. So not a small sum. And so obviously this master is rich, probably rich beyond anyone who was listening's imagination. And he's giving to his servants a certain number of talents, a certain amount of his riches. He's entrusting it to them. Now, it was only in the medieval Latin that the word talent, which had up to that time always referred to an amount of money, or amount of riches, or gold, etc., was started to be extended to how we use the word talent today, as in something that we've been given. We'll say, what? You have a God-given talent. this idea that God has given you something, it's special to you, and you've been entrusted with it, and I see that you're doing something with it. We now use this word talent in the way that it's most normal to us, but it actually started in exactly the way that Jesus is using it here, and it's exactly this parable that started to cause people, as they learned the Bible, to begin to use it in the way that we use it today. Your talents, then, are precious allotments apportioned out to you, both talent in the way we think of it and even more broadly. Something God has apportioned to you, uniquely yours, that he's given you to further his kingdom. And we all have talents. This master has given each of us, of his servants, something to do. Now, talent, let's just be clear, talent means more than just I can sing or I can dance, right? The types of things that we might think of when we watch a show called America's Got What? Talent, right? It's more than that. A talent is anything God's apportioned to you that can further his kingdom. So that could be time, that could be love and compassion, that could be attention, that can be your resources. Whatever God has apportioned to you is the talent, in this case, or the bag of gold, if you want to think of it that way, that he's given to you, the treasure he's entrusted to you. Now it says here, Jesus says that the master has given to his servants each according to their ability. That word ability is a powerful word. In fact, it means power. It's dunamis. It means that the master saw in each of his servants a lot of potential, powerful potential. And he had something in mind for each of them. And so he gives them each something to do. And when we look at the amounts of the talent, 5 and 2 and 1, we shouldn't really think of it as much in terms of quantity as we should think of it in terms of different. The talents that God has given me are different than the talents God has given someone else, and the talents God has given you is different than the person next to you. The variety of talents represented in this room, just this morning, are amazing. The variety is amazing. God has a lot of things in mind that he wants to do in this world, and he's given each of us something. He's entrusted to us. Here's this bag of gold. Here's this bag of precious, valuable, powerful talent. And I'm giving you yours, we see here in the parable. So step one, fact one, as we move into this story. God has given you something valuable and precious and yours alone. Do you believe that this morning? Sometimes it can be hard to believe that. I'll give it to you. But I hope you can come to believe it this morning. That you, not just the person next to you, not just the person that you think has got it all together because they're at church this morning and no one understands what you're going through. You, God has seen you and entrusted precious things to you. Let's keep going. In verse 16 then it says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. Now, there are a couple of words here that oftentimes people don't relate to faith or Christianity. Work and gain. That these first two guys, they take what's been given to them and they cultivate it. They put it to work. They invest it. They understand their master's intention was that they would multiply it. And that the effect of what he's given them would then be felt. It would move. What God has given you has tons of potential to gain and to grow. But whether it does or not, that's up to you and me, isn't it? He's planted something in us. He's entrusted us with a portion of his riches. You are an idea that he thought of, but what you do with that reality and what I do with it will be, in the end, really up to us. Each day, each morning as we get up, what will we do with what God has entrusted to us? It's an important and powerful question. Verse 18, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now this is where the story really starts to take a turn. So far we're tracking pretty well. Rich master has servants, he's about to go on a journey, he says, put my money to work. You know what to do. First two guys, man, they do it well. And so far, it's a pretty smooth and seamless story. But here is where it takes a turn. It's this third man who receives his own apportionment, his own allotment, but he goes off and digs a hole in the ground and hides his master's money. For some reason, it made sense to him that the thing he needed to do was grab a shovel and dig a hole and hide what God had given him, what his master had apportioned to him. He had the opportunity to do something, just as the other two, but he simply didn't. And it was his choice. And I say this morning, with no shame or condemnation, and I hope you hear not a drop of it, that I need to ask you if this has been you or is you this morning. That if you stop and think, which is certainly what I hope we do when we gather at this moment with God's Word open before us, that we stop and think, am I cultivating? Am I gaining? Am I putting to work that which God has entrusted to me? It's unique to me. I don't compare myself to someone else. I just want to do what God has given me to do. But have I, for one reason or another, decided that a shovel was the better thing to do? And I dug a hole and I buried that which God had given me. Is that you? Perhaps someone convinced you that you had nothing to offer and you believed them. Someone somewhere at some time gave you the impression that maybe you should just kind of sit back and get out of the game, that you didn't have anything to offer. Or you've spent too much time comparing yourself to others and you've been measuring and you've decided you don't measure up, and so you've kind of faded back. You got the shovel and buried what God had given you. Or maybe you've been snowed under by life's storms. We all go through seasons like that. And as we sit here today, you've forgotten to even consider what you might have to offer in God's kingdom. It's been too long since you even had that thought. There's been so much going on in your life. Maybe today is the day to start thinking those thoughts again. Or maybe you're afraid of rejection or failure. Because man, when you put to work, when you go out there and do something with what God's put into you, you're kind of putting yourself out there, right? People can criticize or cut you down or decide, who do they think they are? If you have greatness planted in you, and maybe there's something that you really want to be an influencer in this world before you pass away. You want to do something that causes some ripple effects. There will always be someone who would like to just tell you to sit down and be quiet. And you have to reject that. So whatever the reason might be for you, if this shovel feels a little familiar, the result is the same. You've buried and forgotten something that God has given and entrusted. Somewhere, somehow, you thought a shovel was the thing you needed, and that digging a hole was what made sense, just like this third man. Let's see what happens next. In verse 20, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Moment of truth comes, right? The boss is back. And this is all, everyone at this point, if you're listening to Jesus' story, this is the point where everyone leans forward, because now they're wondering, what is going to happen? I like this parable because it makes me think, what if the judgment, for lack of a better term, and it is a perfectly good term, what if that day when we all stand before God isn't just about being like a courtroom with a gavel? Laws broken, guilty, innocent. Those are important questions. But as you say yes to Jesus and you're covered by his righteousness, and we know what the plea will be when we stand before the judgment when it comes to guilty or innocent. I'm guilty, but I'm covered in Jesus' innocence. Amen? So we know how that's going to go. But Jesus is letting us know in these parables of Matthew 25 that there's more to it than that. And so for you and for me, if you're here today and you've already made your yes to Jesus, then there's some serious things for us to chew on and consider. What if the final judgment for us is less like a courtroom and more like a job evaluation? What if it's a bit more like, what did you do with what I gave you? What if that question comes up and does get asked? I certainly get the impression from this parable that it very well may. So the master is back, and it's time to settle accounts. Verse 20, the man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. Key words, entrusted, gained. See, this guy's perspective was healthy and right. He says, you entrusted me. He understood whose gift it was. Ultimately, who owned all of it? And that's how we feel, right, as sons and daughters of God. We and his servants, we begin to understand my life, my breath, my days, my weeks, they don't really belong to me. It's really kind of a delusion that I think that I'm responsible for being alive, that I this was my idea. Here I am. What I get to do and the days that I get allotted to me on this earth are a gift to me. They're entrusted to me. And that's exactly how this guy sees it. You entrusted me with these things. Look, this is what I did with it. And happily, he has some good things to share. See, we hold in trust what God gives us. And he knew that what his master wanted him to do with it was to make it have an effect, to grow and to gain, to be put to good use. It wasn't just to hold on to it. Increase. That your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? This is how we think of it as New Testament Christians. I'm going to take my life and I want to spend it. I want to invest it in eternity. So it'll have a good effect in this world. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That God's goodness, God's truth, the light of God's gospel, that the love that people need in their hearts, that it would increase, it would gain, it would grow. We should never be ashamed of the idea that we want God's kingdom to grow. We want the church to see more and more people saying yes to Jesus. Amen? We want to see those kinds of gains because those are the kinds of gains that matter for eternity. Well, this guy has good news, right? He's getting a good job evaluation. He knows that he's done a good thing, and his master agrees. Verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant, he says. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. And the master replied again, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Each of these servants receives the same commendation. Well done. And the same reward. Share in my happiness. The master is happy. He doesn't hold back saying so. Regardless of the amount of their return, they put to work what God gave them, and he is happy about it. Doing good well, is satisfying. And it is an occasion for great gladness and joy. Our master is joyous when we make the most out of what he's given us. Let me say that again. Our master is joyous when we make the most of what he's given us. He is happy about that. And then he wants us to share in that happiness. It is one of the happiest things in life to feel as though you've spent your day or your week well doing things that really matter. Is that true? You bet it is. That's how God made us. That's what he wants to see happen in us. And it pleases him to no end to see that flourishing and happening in you and me. And so Jesus, even though he's using a parable, it couldn't be more clear. You and I are servants, and we are each called to steward fruitfully what he's entrusted to us. Fruitfully and faithfully, and that this will be an essential measure of our earthly lives. That this will be an essential measure of our earthly lives. See, in the next parable that Mike alluded to this summer when he preached, it's the parable in which of the sheep and the goats, in which it's a third way to look at what the final judgment will be like. And in that parable, the question is, what did you do for the least of these? It really provides the why of what this is all about. Man, we better be making the world a better place. We better be showing love to people in every way that we can and in super practical ways. That parable really addresses the why. In the previous parable, the one we talked about last week, really provides the who. Who are we to be? We are to be people spiritually filled, ready, watchful. But here, tucked in the middle, is a parable that tells us what it's all about. And that is that he's planted something in you. He's entrusted something in you. And it's going to be up to you and to me what we do with it. Taken together, all of these parables give us a clear definition of what life in Christ should be all about. Read Matthew 25, all three parables in a row, and you will get a great picture of the priorities that should be mine and yours day to day as Jesus followers. I love that this one's tucked right in the middle, because then right in the middle of the parable are those two words, well done. Well done. The older I get, the more earnest I become to hear those words, well done. Every day is aimed toward that day that we get to hear those words. Each day is a gift. And I don't know about you, but I'm finding that I have less and less appetite for distraction, less patience for complaining, zero tolerance in myself for laziness or excuses or blaming. Sometimes I experience downright nausea in what I see happening in the world regarding hate or sexism or prejudice or racism or misogyny. I have a deepening sadness for the increasingly popular worldviews that ignore God or only pay him lip service while we decide what we think is best as humanity. Or those perspectives that pervert grace into license and freedom from sin into freedom to sin. Our world cannot afford for your kingdom potential to remain buried any longer. We live in a world desperate for people who, believe me, imperfectly but wholeheartedly walk in the light of the truth of Jesus. Amen? And friends, that needs to be you and me. Who else will it be? Only people who've said yes to Jesus, who realize just how far off we were, just how ruined our lives really were without him, and that we come to him and we realize, left to myself, it's no good. But I'm not by myself anymore. I'm walking with him. And that we carry that truth, we carry that reality wherever we go, work and family and neighborhood. Wherever we go, we carry that. This world needs that more than anything. Simple love, a message of grace, a story, a testimony that says, I don't have it all together by myself, but I'm not by myself. And you don't have to be by yourself either. There's a God who made you, and he loves you, even if you've never given him the time of day. I've turned to him, and life is brand new again. It can happen for you as well. Our world cannot afford for you to carry around your shovel anymore, digging holes and hiding the very thing that God has planted in you to make a difference in this world. Amen? We must navigate our lives toward that single point. Well done. And I want to bring as many people as possible to that same point. I want it with all my heart. Verse 24, Jesus goes on. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. This is the pivot of the story. We've said it before. The most pivotal thing about any of us is what we think of when we think of God. We played word association and I said the word God and I could read the thought bubble above your head. Whatever is in that thought bubble is one of the most important things about you, because it will end up driving so much of your life and mine. What do we think of when we think of God? Now, this guy had some wrong ideas about his master, and they drove him to some wrong decisions. Now, I feel for him. Maybe he was just a little dim to the truth. Maybe he just didn't quite catch on to the reality of the situation, right? Sometimes that happens to me. I don't know if this ever happens to you. This happened to me the other day. I was hanging out and showed Tamara, said, hey, I just watched this movie trailer. You want to see it? And so I pull up my phone, I pull up the trailer, and I just thought it was cool. And the trailer gets done. It's this like gritty, dramatic movie that's coming out. And I thought, oh, that looked cool. And she's like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? Do you mean he did, and then, you know, he did this, and then when they saw that, they did this, and then he went back, and then he drove them around the whole time. I can't believe all that. And I just looked and said, you got all that from the trailer? I just thought it looked kind of cool, and, you know, that actor is usually a comedian, and he's in this gritty role. That's all I got. She got, like, the whole story from the trailer. And at that point, I knew my brain is aging, right? It's like, whoa. I had to watch it again just to see. It all went by so fast. But you know, in this story that we're talking about today, it's not just a parable that Jesus told 2,000 years ago. It's our story. We are absolutely somewhere in this story. We are one of these servants to some degree. We are there. And maybe today, you just need me to help you see the whole story again, to see that you're right there, and that if you've been that third dude, if you've been carrying that shovel, if you've been spending way too much time digging holes, it's not too late. Not at all. You can still start to put that treasure to work. This servant had some tragic misperceptions about his master, and instead of launching out in faith, he hunkered down in fear. There are things that keep our potential buried. We've all experienced them. Maybe you're telling yourself these days, I'm in my later years. I've done a lot of work. I'm not sure what I have to offer anymore. Or I'll let someone else do it. Because you've somehow defined talent or the treasure or the bag of gold, so to speak, that God has entrusted to you to just be something specific that you used to do. And that you're no longer kind of either qualified or you thought, I'm depleted. I got no more of that left. And that's a lie from the devil. I'm just going to say that right out there. You've got time, you've got attention, you've got love, you've got tons of wisdom. And don't keep it buried to yourself. Or maybe you're on the opposite end. You're like, I'm young, I don't have any experience. What do I have to offer? I don't know that much, or I haven't experienced that much. But ours is a faith that honors the young, loves each generation, amen? And knows that the zeal of the young, the gifts of the young are to be cultivated and encouraged and applauded. So if you feel like, I don't know, I don't have much experience, I'm not sure if this is really me, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and tell that voice to shut up, all right? And know that you're in this story too. You're not excluded. Or maybe you've been like, I'm busy. I'll get around to that later. I'll just tuck that away for now. I'll bury it for safekeeping, but you know, then I'll get around to it. Or you've thought, I'm just not gifted at all. I really don't know if God has given me any. Talk about zero bags of gold. Maybe that's me. I don't know. And you felt that way. That's also a lie. Maybe you felt like, I'm too messed up. Man, I've kind of screwed things up. I'm not sure there's much hope for me. I'm not sure I can really be forgiven. And certainly if I can buy into that forgiving thing, there's no way God's actually going to use me to do good in the world. Also a lie. Or maybe you are exactly where the third servant is. You're afraid. That's what he says. I was afraid. And we live in a world of increasing fear, do we not? Are there not increasing number of things in this world to be afraid of? But the anxieties and the stresses of whether or not you'll be caught in the next mass shooting or the next natural disaster or on and on and on become very real. Those fears mount in many people's minds. But as people of faith, we say, as we got to sing so perfectly in our first song this morning, I am not afraid. Can we say those words out loud together? I am not afraid. Afraid. You might be thinking of something right now that has caused you to take what God has given you and bury it. Picture it in there. Picture whatever it is yours. That you know it. Somewhere in there you sense it. Yeah, God did entrust something to me. I could do this. I am able. I've been given the dunamis, the power, the ability to do that. And I know I've buried it. Picture that. Ask yourself why and say to yourself, I am not afraid. That's what was holding this servant back. I was afraid. And when we're afraid, or when we buy into any of these other things that I mentioned, I'm too messed up, or I'm in my later years, or I'm too young, or you name it, we find ourselves as a spectator in something that we were absolutely designed to be a player in. And I want you to hear that. Think about the difference. Maybe this is you this morning. Here we are, we're in God's Word, we're hearing from Jesus. And if you're at a sporting event and you're in the stands, when the coach is talking, what does it mean to you? Well, you might be thinking, I wonder what he's saying. Maybe you even can overhear some of what the coach is saying. Maybe you're sitting near and you can see that clipboard and you know the play that might be happening. But you're thinking to yourself, well, that's pretty cool. But in no way are you thinking, I got to jump off this stand and do what that coach said, right? You're not even thinking that, right? Because you put yourself on the stand. But the player, though, is listening with rapt attention, leaning forward, trying to catch every tone and inclination of what that coach is trying to say, because they're going to execute in a few seconds whatever that coach said. That's the difference. When we bury what God has given us, we've just relegated ourselves to the stand. But when we begin to see, wait a second, I've got something to unearth here, and I've got stuff to do, and I've only got a certain amount of time to do it in, I need to pay attention to what my coach is saying. And I hope that can be you this morning. The third servant didn't get a good commendation, as you can imagine. In verse 26, his master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown or gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." The master calls him out on his unreasonable actions. Even if you thought this was the way I am, and if the master really isn't, but he had this wrong idea. Even if you thought that, you should have done something with what I entrusted with you. That doesn't even make any sense. And the master calls it for what it is, wickedness and laziness. Is it wicked to be lazy? I think maybe it is, particularly when we know better. So the master says, "Take the bag of gold from him, give it to the one who has 10, for whoever has will be given more. They will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them." That sounds harsh at first, but honestly, if I do nothing with what I've been given, then I will lose even that because it was never mine. The master has every right to put it to good use. And if I won't do it, someone else will. It was never mine, and I never honored or treated it for what it truly was, the treasure entrusted to me. See, that's why, and I'll just hit this briefly, I'm almost out of time here, but this fall, I mentioned it last week if you were here, but maybe you weren't. This fall, we're doing a series called Disciples Now and Always. Only later did I realize that the initials for that are DNA, and that's perfect, because it is the DNA of our church, to be a disciple of Jesus. We're going to provide a daily Bible reading guide. We're also going to do some disciple training. If you ever want to come back Sunday at 4:30 for an hour, bring your Bible. We'll go deeper into what we talked about that morning. But email me if you'd like to get that Bible reading guide. I'm excited by this series, and I'm choosing to talk about it for just a quick second in this parable at this point because I don't want you to lose what you have, like this third servant. That I know every single outlooker has had good, precious, powerful things entrusted to them. But I also know that if we leave them buried, we will lose them. And that is an eternal loss. In fact, Jesus says, "Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Weeping and gnashing of teeth is a gritty picture of regret, of regret. Jesus is describing life apart from God, sad, dark, and full of regret. It is an eternity we choose when we choose to ignore God's directives and influence in our lives and bury what He's given us. So our question this morning is this, as I close. What talent have you kept underground that you can begin unearthing this week? What talent, what apportionment, what responsibility, what gift, what ability has God given you that maybe you've kept buried for any number of reasons that you can begin unearthing this week? And how can we help you unearth it? I'd love to grab that shovel with you, not to bury, but to unearth what God has given you. Let's pray about that. Father, we thank you for the story that you told through Jesus so long ago and that you told us again this morning. And we pray, God, that you would help us to be people who are unearthing that which you've given us, not burying it, not afraid, but fearless, because we have faith in you. All that we have is yours, and we want to declare it again this morning, Lord. Here we are. Take what you've given us. Help us to make the most of it by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.